This is The Takeaway from WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
Thanks for being with us this hour. I'm Todd Zwillick, and it's been a year since President Donald Trump became president. And ahead of his State of the Union address next Tuesday, we've been looking at the policies and the strategies that have defined this first year in office. We've looked at the economy, we've looked at national security, and one way the president is reshaping government is through executive orders. David Dayan is a contributor to The Nation and The Intercept, and he's reviewed all of President Trump's 55 executive orders from 2017 for The Intercept. David says these orders and the deadlines attached to them make it clear what was presidential talk and what was action.
In 2017, President Trump ordered 95 different deadlines, and many of those were reports to the president, but they were also orders to continue or end a particular action or publish something in the Federal Register or on an agency website.
I can think of one when you say a deadline. The president said he would rescind the DACA program for young undocumented immigrants, but not until March. The idea there was to give Congress 6 months to figure it out.
Right. That's an example. And there were certain deadlines around the travel ban. You know, these executive orders, you think about them as, and certainly I think the president wanted people to think about them as him committing actions, changing policies and things like that. But a lot of them were sort of writing the blueprints for policies that may or may not be changed later. And so the sort of the outer limits of what you could do with some of these executive orders was just order a report from one of the federal agencies, whether it's Treasury or Homeland Security or Interior, whoever, and then have them make a recommendation perhaps that could be carried out by the president or maybe not, and it might require Congress.
So the president does frequently tweet about unprecedented action in his administration. You're right about that. He likes to advertise a lot of action. A lot of them are in the form of executive orders. What kinds of policy changes, though, do they telegraph if they're coming in a few months or laying the blueprints, as you say, for action later?
Yeah, I mean, it really runs the gamut, whether it's immigration policy or trade policy or regulatory policy or incidents around national monuments and whether or not to shrink them. There are this host of reports, and it's really sort of the building blocks for executive action on a whole host of fronts. And what we wanted to do with this project is see whether those reports, A, were getting done at all, and B, if they were, if they could be made public so that the public would know sort of what these steps that were being taken on the part of the administration were. What we ended up finding is that only about half of them were able to be confirmed as completed, about 48 of the 95 that were deadlines in 2017 actually made it, and some of those were late. The other 47 were not met at all to any of our knowledge, and far less of them were actually made public.
Well, ordering reports is fine. David, I wonder which executive orders you think have been the most consequential at the moment the president signed them. Certainly, there was a lot of attention, and rightfully so, on the travel bans. Those came from executive orders, right? Would you say that those were the most consequential orders of 2017, or were there others?
Yeah, I would say those, the travel ban orders, which involved a host of different policies around refugee resettlement and visas for these majority Muslim countries, was both the most consequential and the most contentious, because as we know, it's still being determined in a court of law at the Supreme Court level. They're still trying to figure out whether or not it was constitutional to carry this out. One that I think should have been the most consequential but wasn't was the installation of this National Commission on Opioid Abuse. And that had a very specific policy goal to create a report that then would create recommendations that the president could act on. Those reports, while late, did get done. What ended up happening is the president did belatedly declare that national emergency, but offered no funding behind it. So here we are a year into the presidency, and this terrible scourge that has killed tens of thousands of Americans, almost nothing has been done really at the federal level except for the writing of this report, whose recommendations have largely not been acted upon. And so that's a good example of these executive orders that could have been quite consequential, but the follow-through has been somewhat lacking.
How important is the executive order now to President Trump at a moment when Congress is especially dysfunctional, has trouble agreeing on almost anything, and probably won't shape up in the next couple of years?
Well, you're absolutely right. In a time of legislative gridlock, the executive order becomes something that, you know, is a possibility for advance and progress, not just for Trump, but for any president. You know, President Obama said famously that he was going to use his pen and phone, and the pen would be writing the executive orders and signing them. Certainly, Trump, many of these executive orders were in the first couple months of the administration. He really front-loaded them to give the appearance of forward motion. The problem is there just hasn't been that kind of follow-through that really made these things move. I would say there was sort of maybe there's one area in which there was a lot of follow through, and that was on regulatory policy, both sort of neglecting the enforcement side of certain regulations and then moving forward to either cancel or delay the start time or outright change various regulations. And a lot of that was embedded in these executive orders, which commanded the agencies to sort of move forward on deregulation.
We should remember, David, that one of the liabilities of the executive order, look, they can provide a great photo op and they can result in important policy changes. They can also be reversed by the next executive order. The next president can simply undo them and often do.
Absolutely. And certainly we see a sort of lack of durability around the executive orders. Trump has certainly used these to signal sort of a change in direction from his predecessor, President Obama, to this administration. And the next president can do exactly the same thing and probably will.
David Dayan, contributor to The Nation and The Intercept and author of Chain of Title, How Three Ordinary Americans Uncovered Wall Street's Great Foreclosure Fraud. David, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.